Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Scott Patterson here, and this is the I Am All In podcast with iHeartRadio, and we are going to discuss that damn Donna Reed. What an episode. Good God. We're going to get into some Grant Lee Phillips as well. He's here. He's waiting in the waiting room, so... Or he's arriving in his golden...
The town troubadour.
The town troubadour in his golden limousine somewhere on the highway, making his way toward the green room and getting all mic'd up and ready for his appearance on our podcast. Grant Lee Phillips, the town troubadour. Anyway, what an episode. It was a laugh riot for me.
And so major. There's so many things happening.
There's a lot happening.
This is episode 14, That Damn Donna Reed. Air date, February 22nd, 2001. Rory and Dean argue about women's roles after watching The Donna Reed Show, and Emily makes Lorelai face her feelings.
I mean, where do you even begin? Where the heck do you even begin?
I know where to begin.
Go ahead.
Lorelai likes Luke. She thinks she might have feelings for him.
Yeah, so it's looking, did you see him make his move though when they were on the floor looking at the order? He made, you know, where his dad wrote that order down for nails and stuff like that. And then he just started, he moved in a little bit. He made a move.
Yep.
And then Taylor didn't.
Because Luke's a stud. Luke's a stud. Wait, I want to hear all your thoughts. Give us all your thoughts on the whole episode. Luke and Lorelai.
You know, I think the Luke and Lorelai stuff was funny, entertaining, endearing. Luke made his move. You know, he yet again made another move. This time it wasn't interrupted by Mrs. Kim. It was interrupted by Taylor. And Taylor, man. I got old Taylor. How great is he, man? How great is he? He's just like with the bunch of the town's folks knocking on the door. What's he trying to wake me up for? Diner's closed. You know, what a busybody. Jesus. But I loved, God, I just love how breezy and easy and kind of perfect the mm-hmm. interaction is between Luke and Lorelai. I just love us together. I really do. Yeah. You know, as a critique of my own work, I was really proud of my work. I really liked the work. I thought there was some very funny moments, especially chasing the baby chick.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed, and I remember doing those scenes and remembering how much I enjoyed doing those scenes. You know, it was a new show and we were getting good ratings and we were happy and everybody was, you know, everybody kind of relaxed into their roles and were sort of firing on all cylinders, but not pushing anything. So it was like, I think in the beginning we were pushing a little bit, but now we're sort of easing into that nice space where you're just doing some good work. And
so do you think your performance in this episode was stronger than your performance in the episode where Richard has the heart issue?
Well, there was more for me to do in this episode. You know, I don't remember that I had a lot to do in that episode. I mean, it was just...
See, I thought you were brilliant. I thought Luke really, we really got to know Luke in that episode. Yeah,
but those situations... Okay, so those situations with the Richard episode, those are easier to play because anybody can play those scenes because it's... Of course, that's what you're going to do. Of course, you're going to be the supportive friend. You know,
wow, that's interesting. Okay. But,
and this one, it required another layer where it was sort of like, now you have to show that you're interested, that you really want her, but, you know, be a little bit secretive about it. So it's not so super obvious and it doesn't turn her off. And that's what I enjoyed about it. It was that sort of banter, that going back and forth. I mean, he would go from dismissive to kind of relax and accepting to a little bit of a smile, like just like that, and then move in for a kiss and get interrupted and then take, you know, I like that hit of beer I took at that when she left. I was like, geez, I need a drink. I almost kissed her. It's like almost and denied again. I mean, that's the second or third time he's been denied by an annoying town member.
Yeah, not denied, interrupted.
Interrupted. Well, denied. Yeah. Denied. The universe conspiring against me. That's
yes,
how he sees
the universe,
it.
The universe. Yeah. The chemistry is so palpable. It's just so cool.
Yeah, it is.
And are you feeling that when you're acting those scenes? Almost like you get pumped up by it. What does that feel like when you're just ping-ponging and having those scenes? What is that like?
It feels great. It's fun. It feels like a couple of tennis players playing a nice point, you know, just like hitting the ball, hitting shots. But I think it's because I think that relationship works. And this is what is dawning on me a little bit here as I watch these episodes, is that Lorelai's very rebellious personality. She just is. And that's why we love her, because she's unpredictable and she's rebellious and you never know what's going to come out of her mouth, but you know it's going to be something funny or it's going to be something a little bit irreverent and that kind of a thing. And she does it in the dinner scene again.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just brilliant, hysterical.
Irreverent, such a great word.
Right, right. And then
to describe
But I think she, when she encounters me, she's encountering somebody who is even more rebellious and more irreverent. So it almost makes her look and feel lighter. I think
that makes sense.
It's a good chemistry because I'm a sort of a darker, heavier presence, but still rebellious and irreverent with a heart. Not like her. She's got a heart for everybody. I've got a heart for her and Rory, and that's pretty much about it. You know, so I'm very limited in how I can use my heart. So it's like, you know, the chemistry is that she's going to be able to focus her heart maybe on me in a romantic way, and that she will open up my heart so I can lighten up and love other people as well as her. So
yeah.
I think that's the sort of yin and the yang of it.
Do you feel like her Lorelai's moments with Luke, they are like a breath of fresh air for her, or a lighter feeling? I don't know if anyone else feels that, but I do get what you're saying. Like those scenes do feel lighter, where her Emily Richard scenes are more like, oh, snark.
Right. Because she, I don't give off the impression to Lorelai. Luke doesn't give off the impression to Lorelai that he needs her. There's no pressure on her coming from him. It's just that, you know, I'm the diner guy. I'm your friend. Everything is so, there's just no pressure coming from him. There's no, there are no head trips. There's no nothing. It's just, he's there. She can tell that he digs her. She can tell that. She's not an idiot. And, you know, she's just not giving into it yet. She doesn't want, there's a lot at stake here. I mean, there's a lot at stake, and she's not going to give into it until it's just kind of overwhelming. And, but yeah, I think Luke, and that's the reason I wanted to play it that way, to have somewhat of a weightier, somewhat darker, somewhat more serious presence in that show. Because if I'm anything other than that, she's going to appear to be a little too much in a romantic relationship. So I had to kind of be the heavy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just works. It just worked.
I totally agree. So what do you, Scott / Luke, feel in that scene when Emily, you know, goes aside with Lorelai and says, you know, this guy is finding the bird and he was at the hospital and you're always with him. Do you have feelings for him? And she finally admits, Lord knows why she admits it to her mother. I don't know. Maybe I do. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when Emily says, well, and now there's a lot to talk about that.
Right. She says something dismissive about me.
Yes.
Like, are you like, then we have to discuss, are you out of your mind or something like that to choose somebody like that? And okay. So that means therefore that Emily really is digging for honesty from Lorelai about that situation, because it's really her being selfish. She wants some closeness with her daughter. That's her way of telling Lorelai, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to dish with me. Let's talk about this guy, you know?
Yeah, that scene bothered me because I really didn't like Emily in that scene, because I truly like Emily. I think she has mostly good intentions, although she's dark and complicated. But she gets Lorelai to open up to her and then dismisses it. And that really bothered
me. But I think, you're right. But I think it's because she wants to have an honest and kind of dishy mother-daughter thing, because that's her only daughter. She wants more closeness. She wants to be close. But why does she want to be close? I think her intention is she doesn't want Lorelai making another mistake with somebody like me. And if she has an influence in her life, if they're friends again, if they fall in love again, I'm talking mother and daughter, if they have a closeness, maybe Emily can steer her in the right direction. I don't think Emily gives up. I don't think she's given up on Lorelai trying to be an influence on her life, getting her back to the country club. Because they're...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, she's 32. She's young. She's very attractive. She's very young. She's going to be an empty nester at 33 years old. She's 32 now. Rory's going away.
Yeah.
So she's still young and very marketable on the dating scene at the country club. And I think Emily wants to set things right. It's like, do the right thing by Rory, get her to Yale, then get Lorelai back in the country club and get her going with the right guy who runs this corporation or that corporation. Yeah. He's an international businessman. And so that I can have a normal life again and not be embarrassed by my daughter anymore.
I think you're nailing it, because that bothered me so much, because I felt like she got Lorelai to open up and she was very clever about how she did it. And she was almost loving and motherly. And then I was so disappointed in her reaction when Lorelai admitted it. Mm-hmm. And it felt like Emily's trying to control her. Didn't feel genuine. That it really, for some reason, in this amazing episode that has so many things I loved, especially Christopher coming back. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that really bothered me.
No, but it's, I think she's still, Emily's self-serving. She wants her life to go a certain way. That's her child. That's her only child. And it's just screwed up her life, and it's screwed up her social life. And she's tired of apologizing for her daughter. And she, do you think she really wants to sit there and dinner and say things like, and talk under her breath about inappropriate things that her daughter is saying at the dinner table? What is it? The very first scene, Emily had some snarky thing, you know, and it was just very quick. And it was like, oh, here we go again. Lorelai with the comments and the funny jokes and this and that. And what did Emily say the very first thing? But it was really cutting, and it was really funny, and it was really kind of right on. And it just shows how irritated she is that she has this daughter that turned out this way. It's like she wants to sit there and have an intelligent, sophisticated, culturally appropriate conversation that the upper crust has.
It's like we need to, you know, we did the therapy episode about Luke and Lorelai. It's like we need a therapist again, and we'll do it soon. Really breaking down this effed up relationship that Emily and Lorelai have. It is a hot mess.
Emily wants to save her daughter. Now she sees an opportunity. She's taking control of Rory somewhat, she thinks, right? That's what the Friday night dinners are all about, getting control of Rory and then maybe trying to rein in and manipulate Lorelai back into the country club set so that she can meet an appropriate man. Because she's worried that she likes me. She's worried about me. She doesn't want me in the mix with all that money, right?
Yeah, and look, no I'm getting way. Ahead of myself, but it's why they love Christopher.
Right. He's appropriate.
They love Christopher.
He's one of them. Mm-hmm. And that's another strength of the show. It's how the rich fight. It's how they, what they do. They don't want their kids trafficking in Luke Danes's. They do not. They do not. Oh, he owns a diner in Stars Hollow. Great. Nice. Good for you. They don't care about the chemistry between us. They don't care about, you know, if it could be potentially a great.
There you were at the hospital. Mm-hmm. There you are on the floor of the house, you know, there you are. Right. There you are bringing the ice. You know, it's like Emily is missing the things that matter so much.
She invited them to Martha's Vineyard because they'd found the house. You know, the guy died and now they had a house to rent. And so she invited the two of them. She didn't invite me or any, but I mean, it's a little too soon for that anyway, but she doesn't want to be in a position where I would show up anyway if Lorelai and I were together.
Very complicated.
It is.
But there's so much in this episode. This really is a phenomenal episode.
Without question. My God. And you know what? I think I was a little harsh about the Rory Dean stuff. It was pretty entertaining.
No, you know what's so weird? I enjoyed that because I sort of wasn't totally mad at Dean. Obviously, like, and I'd love to hear what Riley and Danielle say. Like, I understand why Rory is like fired up about it. But at the same time, I'm sort of like, that is so Dean of Dean.
But it's just showing how naive kids are. They don't understand the period that was shot and written. I mean, this is the post-World War II entertainment complex, right? I mean, all these guys coming back from World War II, the whole country coming back from World War II, and women contributed mightily to the war effort in the United States. I mean, they were on the assembly line putting missiles and bullets together and all kinds of things. Everybody chipped in. And it was a full-time job kicking those Nazis' asses, you know, it really was. Everybody chipped in but the men came back so traumatized and so young, and the government felt so bad about it because, you know, PTSD wasn't a thing back then. You know, these guys get the free college on the GI Bill like my father did. And they all they wanted to is just to have families in quiet and peace. And children and dogs in a white picket fence. And that's all they wanted. Mm-hmm. So making your man a meal, knowing that we had just been through, you know, 4 or 5 years of hell on earth. And we almost lost our way of life. And thank God, you know, it's over now. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to make the poor guy a meal. Because you know what he went through.
With the Donna Reed show and the shows of that time.
Right.
Everyone at home is wanting total escape. Total.
Yes.
Look at how great everything is.
Pushing the American dream.
I understand
that. Pushing the Levittowns, pushing that way of life. a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage.
Yes. So yeah. Riley and Danielle, who are of a different generation.
Yes.
What did you guys think of the Rory Dean Donna Reed thing?
So for me, like I understood both sides. Like I have very traditional parents. So I understood Dean's side of like, you know, making the meal for the wife makes the meal for the husband, like the very traditional side. But then I also understand Rory's side of like being an empowered woman and doesn't have to be that way and breaking out of the norm. So I definitely see both sides.
I agree. I mean, the one thing that bothers me is if my husband's like, so what's for dinner tonight? And I'm like, I don't know. You tell me, you know, like if he tells me that, like red, see red. But I will. I do think it was very innocent of Dean, right? Like, I think he was just a dude that likes to get fed. You know, he's like, you're gonna make me dinner tonight. That makes me so happy. I don't think he had any like malintent to that at all. I think he was just a dude that loves a meal from the girl he likes.
But it's not only genetic. It's behavioral. It's conditioning. It's what they. Who fed me when I was growing up? My mom. My dad didn't feed me. But my dad did feed me. He went out and made the money and, you know, provided. But it was my mother who was feeding me. She was cooking and feeding. That's all guys that age want. And I think guys, as even if they get older, they want their mommies feeding them.
Yeah. And Dean is a simple guy.
It was just a whole different generation.
I mean, it's why, here's the thing, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's why Dean and Rory don't end up together.
Yeah, one's traditional and one is non. One's
and
modern.
Simple and she's so complicated.
Mm-hmm. Well, look,
it's why I love Logan, but we'll talk about it later. Continue.
Oh, we're gonna talk.
I mean, I cannot wait for that. But what do you think of the motorcycle and Christopher? And what did you Scott? Because you couldn't probably remember everything. Think when that? Did you know immediately that Christopher was on that motorcycle?
I figured it out pretty quick. Yeah.
What did you think?
It was a devastating moment personally for me because I thought Luke was gaining so much ground. I mean, that's like, the quarterback is handing you the ball and you're going 3 yards in a cloud of dust and you're on the, you know, you're just getting beat up and you're almost there and you're going to score the winning goal, the foot touchdown. And then all of a sudden, Quarterback throws a little 2 yard pass to a wide receiver who just came into the game. You know, it was his first NFL game and he gets all the glory. And it's like, that's how I felt. It's like, rug pulled out from under you. Rug pulled out.
As audience fans, we're like, yes, yes. Oh, wow. It's the ultimate curveball.
It was.
Like, here comes this motorcycle. And as a first time viewer, you know, Danielle, you can comment. Were you like, who is that dude?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Rory's like, Dad. Were you just like, what?
Just by the way that you saw Lorelai when that motorcycle pulled up, I was like, oh, that's Christopher. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew right away before Rory even said Dad. I'm like, oh, no, here he is.
It's amazingly well done. Scott, can you remember? I mean, I'm sure you probably weren't around that day, but can you remember them shooting that?
No.
I can't wait to find out what everyone listening thinks of Christopher. Because I know how I feel about Christopher. Obviously, I kind of know how you feel, but I can't wait to see like if fans love Christopher.
I think a lot do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love him.
I think a lot do, and I don't blame him. He's a hell of a guy. And man, I mean, talk about, you know, just the visual alone, right?
Yes.
And he's like pulling up in the leather jacket and he says the cool line, hey, take your shirt off. That's what he said from his motorcycle with his helmet on. And Lorelai's like, huh?
And I know we have to go to break, but like they've got a witty banter.
Yeah.
Because they have similar ping pong that you do with Lorelai.
Yeah, but theirs is very country club.
Yeah. With a, but we don't want this.
There's like, no, they have the country club ping pong with no conflict, even though they had the history, but Lorelai and I, it's all sexual tension.
Yes.
Yeah, man. All right, so we got to take a break. We'll be back with Grant Lee Phillips, the town troubadour, who we see for the first time in this episode. So we'll be right back. Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing free samples. It's springtime, and that means allergies. Mine have been throwing me off, and I need something that works fast. That's where AstroPro comes in. It's the first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter spray you can get. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Plus, it is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. So if you suffer from allergies like I do, get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. Visit AstroProAllergy.com. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There he is.
Hello there.
The legend. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
Good to see you. Thanks for coming on. I'm good.
My pleasure.
So let's get into this. This episode, this is your first appearance, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
In an episode, yeah, and there you were. There you were in all your glory. Grant Lee Phillips appears as the grant the town troubadour in a total of 19 Gilmore Girls episodes from 2001-2007. You're a musician who plays guitar and sings in Stars Hollow. It is said that you do not accept money. And you were elected the official town troubadour during a town meeting 2001. So let's talk about your background in music and how'd you get the part of the town troubadour. Where were you initially cast for a certain amount of episodes, or was it just the one? And they said, well,
I believe
we'll see
it was
it
just
goes.
For the one, right. You know, Amy Sherman Palladino, Daniel Palladino, they were fans of Grantley Buffalo and had followed me into what was the beginning of my solo career at that time, early 2000s, like 2000, come to think of it. Y2K days. Remember that?
Right. The world was coming to an end. Yes.
If we could just go back to Y2K. We didn't know how good we had it. So I get this call. Do you want to be on the Gilmore Girls playing the town troubadour? I had no idea what I was really getting, you know, involved with, but it was a great time for me to just to leap without looking. And I'm glad I did. I mean, I loved every second of being on the show.
And how many of your songs actually made it on the soundtrack of any episode?
I think you said there were 19 episodes. So, you know, sometimes there were more than one song. I don't know definitively. I'm guessing there must be 10 to 15 of my own original songs.
That's great.
Most of the songs that I played, I had written, although there were a couple where, you know, the troubadour ventured out, "Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go." Right. Be true to your school, you know.
Well, yeah. It's very difficult for the audience listening in. It's very difficult to get a song, highly competitive arena there, getting a song on a placed on a TV show or a film. It can be very lucrative, but it's very, very competitive, very difficult thing to accomplish. So good for you.
Well, thank you.
Touring musician, yeah. You know, and... you know, now you're on Gilmore Girls, and I hope you're getting residuals in perpetuity for this great music. Because for me, you know, the music sets the atmosphere of the show. The Carole King song is iconic. Your music is iconic, and it contributes mightily to the show. So you should be paid for it. So.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And there are ways that I can't even really put into a number. I can't quantify how many fans that I have made through the show who have then come to my concert. You know, that's an amazing thing, you know. Mothers, daughters.
Yeah. I mean, do you notice it in the crowd when you were, did you notice people? I mean, you would know, you'd get the direct feedback.
From time to time, it's not an uncommon thing. Anywhere that I travel, could be overseas and there, at the show, some fans will show up and say, you know, I discovered you through the Gilmore Girls with my daughter here, and we watched it, and we have this great connection with the show, and that's how we discovered your music. So it's, you know, it's as direct as that, and I think that's pretty amazing.
So, you know, I'm going to go off script here.
Because
I have a bunch of questions they gave me, but you know, I'm a songwriter too, and I've dedicated a great deal of time to writing songs, and I want to know about your process. I want to know how you do it. Who inspires you? You know, how do you go about writing songs?
Oh, goodness. I do recall many times on the set when in between takes, there's so much time where we find ourselves just sitting around and we would pass the 12 string back and forth. I always enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. You know, the process for me begins with, becoming bored. It's probably as simple as that. And in some ways that was sort of the challenge when this pandemic set in. I'm used to being out on the road. And with that means that I've got a sound check at 6:00, shows at 10 tonight. What do I do in between? I go back to the hotel, try to stay awake. And naturally, I began just thumping around on the guitar. And that's usually when I begin, hey, there's a song there. You know, it's in those little moments when I'm totally by myself. And I don't know when I'm, you know, when those moments are going. I can't predict those moments necessarily.
Right.
But they're pretty vital. So I had to kind of create that time in that situation.
Yeah.
It's about having, you know, I mean,
having a guitar in your hand. That's the thing.
I think it's noodling
around constantly. And then,
yeah, just constantly. And the same goes for lyric writing. I'm sort of always, I think you could relate to this too. You, as a songwriter, a lyricist, you develop a sense of listening as a songwriter, you know. You recognize when a string of words have the potential of being a song title or a chorus or, you know, have the seed of a song. Mm-hmm. It's a funny thing that way.
It is.
My wife, we were talking about back in the 90s when we were living in the high desert at that time and we had the Northridge earthquake. And my wife was saying the aftershocks kept coming. I just remember that you couldn't trust the ground anymore. It was a terrible feeling. And I said, cannot trust the ground. Yeah, okay. And I went and I wrote that song. So that's on my next record.
That's brilliant. But that's,
you know, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with earthquakes, a song. But, you know, I think we tend to have a metaphoric sensibility, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right, let's get into some Gilmore stuff here, because I could talk music with you all day, but we have to get some Gilmore stuff in, because that's what the podcast is about.
I love that about you, that you have such a wide field of experience: music, sports, coffee, Gilmore, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to keep plugging, right? The thing with the music is I started too late. And I wanted to out of high school, but our band kind of broke up and everybody pursued their separate interests. But I wanted to keep the band together. It's a pipe dream. But I love writing and I love recording. And, you know, it's a nice hobby. You know what I'm saying? So were you given direction as the town troubadour? Was there some kind of...
The direction that I was given typically had to do with, like, can you maybe sing a little slower, but definitely walk a little faster as you're doing, as you're getting across the street, because we've got to pick up this other, you know,
right.
caravan that's coming through. And you know how that is. It's one long shot that, right. like, if you blow it, if you're the weakest link, then the whole thing has to be reset.
That's right, because you were in all those wide shots, and they'd come zoom in on you and then move past you, right?
Yeah, so there was a little bit of terror involved in that, you know.
Right, all that choreography.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, you know, my what is my objective? I never really got to go as deep as I felt like I was capable of going, with the exception of... you know, that episode where that you spoke of that involves the whole city meeting.
Oh, the town hall.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. That was one of the first ones that I did, you know. It was a long day. Like,
yeah,
I was giving it my all, like at 5 a.m, delivering those lines and bang, bang, bang. You know, right. I'm not missing a beat. Right. Having no idea that I was still going to be delivering those lines at 2.
Yes.
That morning.
Yes.
To a chair. To a folding chair.
An empty chair.
Everyone had gone home. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we knew to conserve our energy.
Sally Struthers said to us, you have such incredible staying power. Uh-huh. Oh, thank you. I'm going to... That was at 7 a.m.
It's a marathon, man. It ain't a sprint.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we... but they were great scenes. I mean, they really were. They were really funny. And thank God we had Michael Winters as Taylor Dosey keeping it all together.
Oh, I know.
The pressure he was under constantly. And he just delivered every time. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Really amazing to watch. Were you playing or loitering on the street corner? This is a fan question.
Oh, goodness. I was emoting. I was sharing my bliss. Yeah.
Damn right you were.
That's right.
You were emoting. You're a troubadour.
I was emoting.
That's what they do.
I mean, you do want to keep moving, though, you know, because for one, it's freezing. You're lucky. You always had layers.
But Luke not in the summertime.
Really? I don't remember like any scantily clad Luke episodes. I just remember like the
no, there was one. There was a T-shirt
and the flannel and the thermal.
No, there was a T-shirt one when we were when TJ drove his car into the diner and we had to rebuild it, and I was in a T-shirt. Immersive.
Okay, the one time.
One time.
You remember that time?
I do.
And I think it just proves my point.
That was the only time.
It stands out.
No, but what I'm saying is you know, it's winter time in Stars Hollow, so you're all bundled up.
Yeah.
Right. And it's 110 right. in Burbank on yeah, set. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, it's nice to have a job.
Yes, it's true.
It's really
the
nice.
The streets
to have a
are
job.
Wet too. They would wet those streets down.
Yes, they would. They'd wet them down. Everybody, you got to wet down the streets, make it look cool. So you actually played on set. What were your impressions of the Stars Hollow set?
Man, talk about idyllic. I think most of us who fall in love with the show know, I want to go there, I want to live there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that it's that magic place that, you know, seems so inviting, that's free of stress, although we will create our own stress if you're the troubadour or Taylor or Luke. Yeah, right. I mean, there were a few characters that had a lot of stressors in their life, as I think back. Sean, you know, I mean,
yeah, I think, yeah, that was the whole point of the show.
Right? Yeah, too much coffee. Yeah, that's the theme.
Did you ever have like any kind of incidents with a car, weird incidents with a car or something as you were trying to do your scene, do your bit? Because there were, I remember a lot of cars going by all the time.
Oh, well, that's true. Yes, there were a lot of cars
and
going
it was pretty
by.
Pretty organized,
right.
Yeah. And they had PAs on it with walkie-talkies telling people when to go. But there were some screw-ups at times. So were you ever involved in any of that stuff?
No, fortunately. Okay. I managed to get to the other side of the street, which is, that's it. That's my, that's acting. That's right. That's all right. Those years of Meisner.
Did you study? Did you really study?
You know what? After Gilmore Girls, after the final season, I did some classes because I thought, you know what, I want to take this further and get a little deeper in some other areas. I had done theater, community theater, back in Stockton, California, when I was growing up, and I went to film school for a bit of time when I first moved to LA. So I had some
how very like, Jim you know, Morrison I had, of you.
I had
how
other
very
interests.
Very
yes.
Jim Morrison of you.
Huh? Although he graduated, I think.
Oh, he did.
School, yeah. And I got through the first year and realized, I think I just want to be a musician more than anything, right? You know,
huh?
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, he didn't have to lug around an amplifier though. he didn't own a Fender Twin, he had a harmonica, I think.
He just had to lug around a whiskey bottle,
yeah. Right?
All right, we got a couple minutes here, left, so. I want you to use one word to describe the following characters. Ready?
Mm.
Luke.
Ah, the man.
Miss Patty.
mother.
Taylor Dozy.
Oh, caffeinated.
Babette.
Babette. Oh, loving bubble of a person.
Lorelei.
Sensual.
Hello, Rory. I mean, I'm sorry, Rory.
Rory. Budding.
Kirk.
Kirk. Whimsical.
Mrs. Kim.
Mrs. Kim Stern.
Yes. So we've already been through this, but you do get recognized as the town troubadour at times, right? Do you?
On occasion, yeah.
Okay.
But most certainly when I attended the fan fest a couple years ago.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That was kind of wild, yeah.
Right.
That's the last time I think I ran into you.
Yes.
Very briefly, but
all those lovely people standing outside in the freezing cold. That's why I ran outside. Because we were taking 50 at a time curling club and inside it was just moving too slowly. And there was 1,000 people out there and they were cold and they had babies. And it was like,
I know, it was very cold.
And you were great with them and you were serenading people. And it was just, you know, that's why I ran out there and just did everything so fast is just to get those people out of the cold. And it wasn't super freezing, but it was like to stand in that for an hour or 2 hours, because it was going to take a while to meet and greet everybody and sign and do selfies and all that stuff. But anyway, you do what you got to do.
It was a great bunch, though. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Did you actually play your guitar and sing during the scenes or was everything?
Yes.
You did.
I did, yeah. Sometimes we would have to go back. If there was an airplane that went over, we'd have to go back and, you know, kind of fake it to to cover, you know, because it's sort of, you know, there's a fair amount of ambient noise. And when you're trying to capture a guitar and a vocal, you know.
Right.
It was all done live. And most of the time, that's kind of what made the final scene.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thanks for coming on. And
thank you, Scott.
You're the best. And good luck with everything. And so do you have anything? Do you have a stage performance coming up? Do you have anything coming up that you want to tell us about?
After this weekend, a little further into August. Sometime later in August.
Okay.
You know. Okay. Stage of shows. It's called Grantley Phillips Live from the Parlor.
Okay.
And you know.
And what's your website so people can go download your music?
GrantleyPhillips.com is a place to go. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Definitely. Grantley tweets on Twitter. Instagram, the works, you know.
I want to come down to Nashville and gig with you.
That'd be nice. Come down this way.
I want to come down there.
Have some hot chicken.
Yes. Grant, thank you for your time.
Let's
please do this again. Like I said, we'll really get into some music stuff and influences
that sounds good.
And all that kind of stuff, because that's right in my wheelhouse. I love that stuff.
That's great.
All right, buddy.
Be all right, good. Have a good one, Scott.
All right, man. Stay safe. All right, see
you.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knix Anniversary Sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knix's biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knix leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
Okay, so we're back, everybody. So let's get into this, the paint job that Lorelai has convinced Luke that he needs for the diner that has not been painted since his father painted it, obviously before he passed away. And some of the colors that were tacked up by the door,
the pinks,
yeah, the shades of pink. Well, that was, talk about a trigger for old Lukey. But you know, it was just more of the tension, the sexual tension that was playing out. It's kind of the dance that they do before the consummation. And
that she convinced him to do it.
And that she, right.
That was pretty major.
Right.
And it's such an excuse for them to spend all this time together.
Had he not felt a certain depth of feeling for her, there's no way he would have agreed to that.
Totally agree with you.
And she handled it with real finesse. She was very careful about it, even to the point where she said, well, we're not going to paint over that order that your father scribbled down. We'll do it the right way. So, yeah, he was just like, man, just want to kiss her. I just want to kiss her. I just want to kiss her. I just want to kiss her.
Oh, my God, I love it.
I mean, he wants to kiss her so bad it pisses him off. That's probably why he's cranky all the time. Yeah, it's like he just wants to plant one on her, man. He wants her. So
it's getting good. Yeah, it's getting good.
It's getting pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got to see other parts of the diner in some detail and even talk about some of the things that were up on the shelves that he was in no way, shape, or form going to give in on and getting rid of them at her request. There was no way. was like, I'm going to let you do this painting thing, but you know, you're not going to change me completely. So it was like pretty much telling her, we get into a relationship and I'm willing to sort of compromise with you, but not 100%. So he's his own man. He's his own guy, you know, and he's, I think entering a relationship or potentially entering a relationship, you've got to establish the ground rules that, yeah, I'll meet you halfway, but that's it. You know, so he's a hard ass. He wants her, but he's a hard ass for sure.
Yeah. Which is, I think, important.
Yeah.
That's why she likes him.
Yeah. He's as strong as she is.
Yep. 100% why she likes him.
Yep. That's 100%. Yep. He's as tough as she is. I think she likes the fact that he's never going to change and that she can't change him very much. You know, that's how I approached it. I wanted him to be a rock of Gibraltar. He's got to be the rock. He can't break ever. So anyway, yeah, delightful stuff.
Yeah.
Delightful stuff. Just wonderful home viewing.
And hello, Christopher.
Well, talking about home viewing, I'm Riley, and this is your pop culture. And our first pop culture is the Donna Reed Show. So this is the show that Dean, Rory, and Lorelai were all watching. And the series was developed by Donna Reed and her then-husband, producer Tony Owen. The show ran on ABC from 1958 to 1966 for a total of 275 episodes. Reed often encouraged writers to create stories in which other characters had to be the main focus. And ABC nearly canceled the show, but it was renewed when ratings improved when sponsors by Campbell Soup and Johnson & Johnson were added. Lorelai says, it's getting a little too Lewis Carroll for me. And Lewis Carroll was an English writer for the children's fiction and is known for Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Lewis's real name is actually Charles Dodgson, and Lewis wrote himself into the story as the Dodo Bird because he would sometimes introduce himself as Dodgson due to his stutter. Carroll was not on drugs, comparable to some of the rumors, but he did suffer from a strange disorder that caused him to have hallucinations, which made him feel bigger or smaller than he was.
Whoa.
Mm.
Luke says, does Martha Stewart do it? And this is when Lorelai asks Luke if he knows what stenciling is when they're repainting the diner. And
it's so good.
Martha Stewart was America's first self-made female billionaire. She worked as a model throughout college to pay her for her tuition. And she was actually babysitter to high school kids of legendary baseball players Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra.
She was what?
She's their kids' babysitter.
She was a babysitter for Mickey Mantle?
Kids. His kids.
Oh, the kids.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know what you meant. Not Mickey Mantle back in Oklahoma when he was a kid. Stop it.
And Martha Stewart recently posted a sexy selfie and admitted to it being a thirst trap.
Huh.
I'm still imagining Luke stenciling. Like... on what planet would that ever happen?
Lorelai says, all day long, just chirps like a maniac at the top of her lungs. Now nothing. Silence. Marcel Marceau, chicken. Marcel was actually a mime in 1948, and the troupe was soon touring European countries presenting mime dramas. He created the figure Bip, a melancholy, engaging clown with a limp red flower in his hat. But what's creepier... the clown pillow or the mime?
I don't like mimes.
I think David Bowie studied with Marcel Marceau at one point.
He did. I don't like mimes.
Well, you should see this Marcel Marceau character. Wow.
Ugh, what is creepier, clowns or mimes? Equally bad.
Maybe Ooh. Bad mimes, Ooh. But good mimes are sort of magical.
Oh, I disagree, but I love that you just think that.
Suki says, wow, that's very Wild Kingdom of you. Lorelai says, I'm like the Marlon Perkins of Stars Hollow.
Yeah, Marlon Perkins' Wild Kingdom.
Yes, so the Wild Kingdom was a nature and wildlife TV series Great airing show. From 1963 to 1988, and it was revived in 2002, airing until 2011 on Animal Planet. Marlon Perkins narrated it and starred in the series. Many people who watched the show recall the host being bitten by a venomous snake, but it actually never happened on air. The snake bit Marlon Perkins in real life.
That's where I got my love of snakes from, that show.
Thank you, Marlon Perkins.
Thank you, Marlon.
Lorelai says, a streetcar named Desire. Suki says, Vivian Leigh or Jessica Tandy. So A Streetcar Named Desire was a 1947 play written by Tennessee Williams and made popular in the 1951 film adaptation. Vivian Leigh starred as the main character of Blanche in 1951, and Tandy starred as Blanche in 1947 stage production. Jessica Tandy's husband played opposite her as the main character, Mitch. Lorelai says, all of a sudden, I'm trying to get any poor, unsuspecting person in bed with me. I'm like Michael Douglas.
Oh, it's the best line of the whole show. That was the best laugh of the whole show.
Totally agree.
Brilliant. What do you think? I'm like this crazy person going around trying to get everybody to sleep with me? Like, what am I, Michael Douglas? Something.
I know. What was the deal, Riley? Because I know, but I want people that maybe don't know.
Michael Douglas has been part of more than 50 Hollywood films, including Wall Street, Romancing the Stone, and Fatal Attraction. He is married to Catherine Zeta-Jones, who is 25 years younger than him. And it is also said that he likes to date younger women.
Or did before he was married. Yeah, I think Warren Beatty and Michael Douglas and Wilt Chamberlain were all having a competition back in the 70s. Jack Nicholson was probably in on that. Dennis Hopper, you know, it's like different times. This was before AIDS. It was during the cultural revolution that was happening with the young people and the hippies and free love and marijuana and acid. And, you know, everybody was burning their bras and dropping their trowel, you know.
Lorelai says, I'm being morbid. Joan and Melissa Rivers think I'm being morbid. And this was Emily and Richard say when the late owner of the Martha Vineyards house, which we had previously talked about. So Joan Rivers was a famous stand-up comic, and Melissa, her daughter, is known for her acting and producing. Joan got her big break on The Tonight Show after Bill Cosby recommended she replace another comic that had bombed. The mother-daughter duo were longtime creative partners, appearing together on the red carpet and various reality shows such as Celebrity Apprentice and Joan and Melissa, Joan Knows Best.
Yeah, that was actually a great scene in this episode. That scene was a great scene, the four of them.
And that's it for pop culture.
That's it. And were we clear on she screams Stella when she got in the kitchen?
Yeah.
That's Marlon Brando screaming for his wife in Streetcar Named Desire.
Yes.
Because they'd had a fight, and I think he'd beaten her up a little bit because she tried to break up the card game early. And then he was gone, and every man's the king of his castle, and Blanche was driving everybody crazy. And then he was, you know, that was the famous Stella up the stairs, you know. And then she melts and he just collapses in her lap. Husband and wife are reunited. So that was Lorelai screaming for the chick.
Stella!
And for those keeping track in this episode, Clown Pillow appeared 10 seconds in. It was quick, but he was there.
Really? Where?
When Lorelai, Rory, and Rory were eating pizza and Dean was eating a salad, which I thought was very funny, right there on the couch right next to Rory.
There were some continuity errors in this episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, tell us.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there were two that I noticed. Maybe there were more, but I noticed two. One from Rory and one from me. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. And when Rory already pulled a piece of pizza, when they were coming in closer on Rory, she was already had a piece of pizza and she was eating it. And then when they punched out a little bit later in the scene, not much later in the scene, she reached in and grabbed her first slice of pizza. So that didn't match. Ouch. And then in the diner, when I was putting the half-eaten burger from that table into a styrofoam container and a napkin, we see me putting it in. And then the very next cut, I'm starting it all over again. So ouch on Luke. Ouch. Smack me down. Yeah.
And Scott, there was a continuity issue with the clown pillow too.
Really?
Because when Dean came in and sat down, he put his jacket on top of the clown pillow. And then but a couple seconds into the scene, go back to Clown Pillow. It's showing again. Oh. Then a couple seconds later, Dean's jacket's over it again. I was like, oh my God, the Clown Pillow.
Oh, that's smart. Still, that hurt. That's going to leave a mark on that. That's going to leave a mark, that one. So we got pizza. We're dealing with the food in the Clown Pillow seems to sort of elude us somehow.
Problematic.
It's a problem. You know, anyway, I hope nobody noticed it, and I'm glad I brought it up so you can all notice it, so it adds to your enjoyment of the episode.
Love it. Riley, what's your favorite line?
My favorite line is, they're going to make me turn in my pearls, from Rory.
We'll sing painting songs.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That was a good painting song.
Painting songs?
That was pretty fun.
Danielle, what's your
I don't spruce from Luke.
I don't spruce. All right. I don't spruce.
Scott.
It's got to be the Michael Douglas line. I mean, that made me just laugh out loud.
Solid.
Yeah, that was a home run, that one. The Michael Douglas line was great. Anyway, the Damn Donna Reed was a wonderful episode. Mm-hmm. Really full of laughs, full of great acting. You know, the narrative's developing, the storyline's developing, and it's just so great. And there's some nice momentum on both tracks with the and we didn't discuss that scene when Luke went outside to take the trash simultaneous with Dean and
yes. Oh, I was going to talk about the sort of the mirroring that was happening in this episode.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. It was like those storylines were mom, mother, daughter having
definitely.
And it's like, you know, it's like Rory's getting further with Dean than I am getting with Lorelai, for God's sake. They're way ahead. We got a lot of catching up to do. It's like, come on, old people, hurry up, get on the horse, let's go. It's like, plan one on her, let's move it. You got to compete with your daughter now. So anyway, but thoroughly enjoyable. Yes. And now we Christopher returns. Ooh, wow, that's gonna
he sure does.
That's gonna be a
good luck to Luke.
New sheriff's coming to town. New sheriff's in town. I hear there's a Luke here, thinks he's in charge. Well, I got a silver dollar, says maybe he ain't so far. No more.
Oh, good stuff.
Christopher returns. All right, everybody. So let's everybody watch Christopher Returns. We will reconvene. We will discuss the subtleties and the themes going on in Christopher Returns, as we are wont to do. And that's going to wrap her up. I'm Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast with iHeartRadio and 111 Productions. See you next time. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.